But Lord, we just ask you to speak to us right now by your Spirit. And even as Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. We ask that even right now you would give us ears to hear. Hear your truth, hear your word. I pray for a personal word, that rhema word that we need today to have victory, that we need for whatever it is that's life-giving of your will in our lives now. So we pray that you would give us ears to hear and a heart to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we read these verses in Daniel chapter 3, I want to give you one verse out of 1 John chapter 5. It kind of sets the theme for the message this morning, our topic. It's 1 John chapter 5 and verse 19. If you want to write it down, we'll have it on the screen. It says, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. In other words, let me just real quick tell you, the Bible uses our English word world two different ways. One refers to the people. For God so loved the world. He loves everyone. He loves the people. But there's another way, this Greek word cosmos, it refers to a world system that is away from God. And so that verse is saying, this world system is under the influence of the evil one, of the devil. And that's why it's not right to look at things in the world and blame God. We can't blame God for the sin that he never wanted or endorsed. And many are hurting and all of this going on, the wars and suffering. That wasn't God's heart, but it's under the influence of this evil one. And the Bible describes this same book, 1 John, describes this world system as characterized by sinful desires and pride. Some of you are familiar with the scripture, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So that's characteristic of a world system. In Daniel, I believe God reveals to us ways the unbelieving world, and I want to emphasize this, ways the unbelieving world tries to draw us into its way of living or force us into its way of living. To draw us or force us into its way of living rather than God's way. And if you think about that as you read Daniel chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Daniel chapter 3, verse 4 says, then a herald cried aloud, to you it is commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, and symphony with all kinds of music, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning, fiery furnace. There is not so much drawing as much as it's forcing. Don't you see? There's forcing. You're going to do this, or you're going to pay the price. Kind of coming from that an ungodly and unbelieving world mindset. Now, the theme of Daniel is the sovereignty of God. That's the ultimate authority and will of God. God is not only the highest authority, but when it's all said and done, it will be God's will that prevails. No one can overthrow the will of God. We may not be in God's will, but we can't overthrow his will. That's the sovereignty of God. So he goes on, and there were three young men who didn't bow. And verse 16 says this, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if we're going to be thrown into a literal burning fiery furnace, our God, whom we serve, is able. Would you say he's able? He's able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us. Would you say he will deliver us? He will deliver us. I love their attitude. He's able and he will. But they didn't stop there, did they? Verse 18, but if not, would you say if not? If not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. They had made up minds. That was the message last week. We got to have a make-up mind. We got to have a made-up mind that I'm with Jesus. He did all that he did for me, and I just got to go with him all the way. So they had a made-up mind. So you know what happened? They were thrown into the fiery furnace. On occasions, God miraculously delivered people from those type of situations. But on other occasions, they went through the fire. They went into the lion's den, whatever it may be. But God does not abandon us in those moments. He's with us in those moments. He goes with us through the fire if we know him. So the Bible says, if you drop down to verse 25, I'll just read two more verses. Daniel chapter 3, verse 25. We read these words. Nebuchadnezzar went and he could see into the furnace. And he said, look, I see four men loose. And he only threw three in. So he said, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they're not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You see what I'm saying? That the Lord didn't abandon them at all. He was right there with us, with them, and he's with us in our fiery trials. I know I'm as human as anyone else. When our faith is tested, man, it can feel like we're alone. And it can feel like, God, where are you? And I don't think it's wrong to even go to the Lord that way. Even in the book of Psalms, some of the people were like, Lord, where are you? I need you now. Or, how long, Lord? How long I got to go through this? And that's just in our humanity. But do you see they were still expressing faith in who they brought it to? They came to the Lord. And so he walks with us through those. He says in the book of Isaiah, though you walk through the fire, you won't be burned. Though you go through the flood, you're not going to drown. I'll be right there with you through it all. And then he concludes in this. This is how this chapter basically ends in verse 28. This is the king Nebuchadnezzar now who didn't believe in the God of these young men. He said, Nebuchadnezzar spoke saying, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him. Please remember that phrase. They trusted in him. And they have frustrated the king's word and yielded their bodies. So they trusted and they yielded. They trusted and they yielded their bodies that they should not serve nor worship any god except their God. Now, I'll give you one more New Testament scripture and then ask you to turn back to Daniel chapter 1. What we call Christianity today, it was not called Christianity in the Bible. It's called the way. In Acts chapter 24 and verse 14, I'll read it to you, words are on the screen. Acts 24, if I can read it back there, verse 14 says, but this I confess to you, this is Paul defending his faith before the leaders. He said that according to the way, which they call a sect, so I worship the God of my fathers, believing all things that are written in the law and prophets. That's a characteristic of Christians, of those who are followers of the way, is we believe all that's written in the word. That's what sets us apart. So we have the world, and we have the way. Following Jesus is forgiveness and eternal life. Following this world system leads to destruction. So let's choose wisely. Here's the message this morning. Follow the way. And then the corresponding truth to that, follow the way, not the world. Follow the way, not the world. Would you say it with me? Follow the way, not the world. Some of you will be familiar with the words of Jesus to know maybe at least why Christianity, what we call Christianity today, was called the way in the Bible. Jesus said, I am the way, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So again, following the way is not just I prayed a little prayer, I'm forgiven, I'll see you in heaven. No, it's a lifestyle. It's a way of living just as surely as following the world's unbelief is a way of living. So follow the way and not the world. How? I want to share, I believe, three practical ways this morning. Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, I begin in verse 4. The Bible says this, that these young men were taken captive from an invading army And it says, choose young men in whom there was no blemish, but good looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. So they took them captive. They were exiled into a foreign land. And this scripture, and I'll just give you these real quick. They were given a Babylonian education, lifestyle, and names. Or let me word it this way. They were given a Babylonian education, diet, and names. I'll show you what that means, okay? So here in verse 4, they were given a Babylonian education. Verse 5, and the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of the time they might serve before the king. And then verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Here is how we can live out by following the way. Number one, by our faith in God. We live by our faith in God. Here in Daniel, these young men, four of them that are specifically mentioned by name, again, they were given Babylonian education, a Babylonian diet, and Babylonian names. They represent a Babylonian worldview, a Babylonian lifestyle, and Babylonian loyalty. So a worldview, lifestyle, and loyalty. That was the goal of why they were given this education, this particular diet, and they changed their names. This is so important, more and more, I believe, in the days in which we live, because Jesus said before he returns, there will be great deception throughout the earth. And I'll say we, churches, we need to teach and preach the inspired, written Word of God, not our opinions and our little whatever else. We need to proclaim the Word of God so that followers of the way, followers of Jesus, can have a scriptural and godly worldview and a scriptural and godly lifestyle and a scriptural and godly loyalty in contrast to the world's way of living. So follow the way and not the world. These young men, they were smart. They had God-given ability. They used their ability. They learned. They studied. They worked hard. They didn't have a bad attitude and say, I'm not doing this. I don't care. I was talking with Miss Charlotte after service last week because I'm in the process of final edits of a little devotional that I've written, a 21-day devotional. And I'm into the grammar part where I may have written something in a passive voice and they recommend rewriting it in an active voice. Now, I'm sure you all know what that means, right? Well, maybe not as much as I do. Are there any English majors here? No, I'm serious. I want your help. But we were talking about it, and I remember sitting in high school. I would even have taken English if I didn't have to. Because my mentality at the time was, I know how to talk. I'm going to talk how I want. I don't need this. Guess what? I need it. But they had the right attitude. Here was the key. They learned, they studied, but they did not compromise their faith in God and His Word. That's the difference. So follow the way, not the world. If you want to write this verse down, it's two of them, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I'll read them to you. They're on the screen. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says this, I beseech you, I'm pleading with you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. In other words, because God is so merciful to us, we don't have to go to hell. We don't have to suffer for eternity for our sins. We can be forgiven. We can have God in our lives. We can have a new beginning and a home in heaven. And since God is so merciful to us, here's the proper response to his mercy. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And it's, the idea is that we give ourselves completely to the Lord. Is how can we say, well, I'm going to give you my body, but I'm going to do what I want with my mind and heart? It's a complete giving of ourselves to God and his will. It's holy, acceptable to God. This is just your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world. Again, it's like the world system. But be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Remember in Daniel 3, it says they trust in God and they yielded their bodies. Do you see that truth here? Trust in God and yield your body. Present your body as a living sacrifice. So there's complementary truth here in the Old and New Testament. So committing ourselves completely to the Lord and to his will. One translation says it like this of Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. Don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. We're in the world, but we're not what? Of the world. We're not supposed to live like the world, but it's easy to get swept up in that current, isn't it? It's easy to get swept up in the negativity and the selfishness and the pride and the greed and all of the just the hatefulness and contention and all of that. It's easy to get caught up in that. And that's why I think we have to be wise about what we see and what we hear and what we watch and put into our minds and our hearts and spirits. We can be informed without going that way. And we can still follow the way. The Lord will help us. That's with the sovereignty of God, he will help us live faithfully to him if we trust him. We've got to trust him in order to follow the way and not the world. So we are to have a Christ-like attitude, the Bible says. Let this mind or mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So to have the Lord's attitude and mindset and to think and his values. The world says conform. The word says transform. The world says conform. We're going to make you. We're going to draw you. You're going to live our way or else. And the word of God says no. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you can live it out. Brothers and sisters, don't we constantly battle in our thoughts and the pull of the world? So we have to constantly cleanse our mind, our spirit, our heart, and renew our minds with the Word of God. To have a truth that we keep in front of us, that we meditate. We talked about that a little bit yesterday at the breakfast. To live out our faith in God. So number two, how do we live out following the way and not the world? We live by our faith in God. And then out of that truth, we live by our identity in Christ. By our faith in God and our identity in Christ. Now I want to read you these verses. First of all, Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. Daniel chapter 1, verse 7, because these Hebrew names proclaim a truth about God, and they're based on faith in God. Every time they call their own name, they introduce themselves, every time someone called them, they proclaimed and reminded them of God and his truth. This is what it says in Daniel chapter 1, verse 7. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave names. He gave Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. I want to tell you what the names mean in Hebrew. Daniel means God is my judge. Do you see why someone who didn't believe in their God wanted to change their name? They changed it to Belteshazzar, which means, see, these names that they gave them called on Babylonian gods, Bel, Aku, and Nebo. So Belteshazzar means Bel protect his life. His parents, I guess, named him God is my judge. They changed. Did you see how they're working? They want him to identify a different way than what God has over him. So his identity was changed, but we still call him Daniel. We call the other three by their Babylonian names for some reason. I don't know. But let me at least tell you what they mean. So Hananiah means the Lord shows grace. Mishael or Michael means who is like God. I like that one. Who is like God? And they changed his name to who is like Aku, the moon god. And then also the final one, Azariah, means the Lord helps. But do you see how they had that identity that was based on faith in God and truth? And then if Babylon representing the world, because even at the end of Scripture, there is a world system that is going to be defeated at the return of Jesus. Guess what the Babylonians or the world system is called? I just gave it to you. It's called Babylon. So do you see how it's in that whole contrast of two different lifestyles? And let me just, if you want to stay there in Daniel, I'll close there on the third point. But let me give you these words from Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. I just believe this is such an important encounter that really reveals this truth in Matthew 16. And in verse 13, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And asked the Son of Man, Jesus knew who he was, but he wanted to hear them. Verse 14, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But Jesus said to his disciples now, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter, tend to be the spokesperson for the group, answered and said, "You are the Christ," that means the Messiah, the anointed one. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And this is so important. Verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Let me pause right there just a second. It's more than, we need more than just an intellectual, Jesus, God loves me, Jesus Savior. We need divine revelation of who he is. Anyone can mouth it, but it's got to be a revelation in our heart. Because Jesus said, you didn't just come up with that on your own. You're right, that's true, but that is a truth that is revealed by my Father. And then he's getting ready to tell Peter something. Because he says, now that you've had a revelation of it in your heart of who I am, now I'm going to tell you who you are in me. So then the next verse said unto him, in verse 18 says this, "And I say to you that you are Petros," Peter, "a little rock. And on this Petra, a massive stone, I will build my church, in the gates of Hades, the powers of darkness cannot conquer it, cannot overshadow it, cannot defeat it, cannot even prevail against it, hold out. If you're in Christ, you're on the winning side. Follow the way, not the world." So here's what he said. I believe this is something that really happens, even though there was a unique message to Peter as being a leader in the early church. There is an application for all of us. When God's Spirit reveals to us that Jesus really is the Messiah, he's the sinless Son of God who was sacrificed on a cross to pay for my sins. He came back to life the third day. And if I believe in my heart and call on him as Lord, I'll be forgiven. And when I come to that revelation, now I have the revelation, that's who you are. And then the Word of God says, now let me tell you who you are in me. And then it's so important to, by faith in God, then we call ourselves what the Lord says about us. And we identify ourselves by truth rather than how the world may want to define us. See, when we come to that revelation of the Lord, he gives us a new identity. The Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Old things, and behold, all things have become new. So you're in Christ, you're new. And you've got a new identity. There's a new name written in glory. And it's mine. That's what the song says. So follow the way, not the world. Would you say it with me? Follow the way, not the world. So if we are in Christ, he says in verse 21 of that same chapter, 2 Corinthians 5, it says, for he, talking about the Father and Son, for he, the Father, made him, the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So if the world says, you're just a good-for-nothing, rotten sinner, you'll never be anything else, the Word says, you are the righteousness of God in Christ. The world says, you're stupid. The Word says, you have the mind of Christ, and he has not given you a spirit of fearfulness or fear, timidity. He has given you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. The world says, you're ugly. The Word says you are remarkably and wonderfully made. Do you see the differences there of how we have to, which one we choose to follow? Is that, I say it like this. Let's believe the one and agree with the one who loves us most. He loved us enough to die for us, gave himself for us. If he says you're the righteousness of God in Christ, the Bible says, awake to righteousness and sin not. Let's believe it and then by his grace live it out. Follow the way, not the world. Then finally, so to live by our faith in God, our identity in Christ, and then to walk in the Spirit. How do we live this out? Follow the way, not the world. Our faith in God, identity in Christ, and walk in the Spirit. Would you say those three with me? Faith in God, identity in Christ, and walk in the Spirit. And if you're still there in Daniel chapter 1, I'd like to ask you to turn to chapter 4, Daniel chapter 4, and read two verses here. Daniel chapter 4. I want to have a heart of compassion when I talk about the world or the world system. I want to be careful not to develop a mindset of us and them for me, because I see it in the political realm. So often if it becomes us and them, we tend to demonize them and think we're the right one. And of course, how we see it, we're going to believe that is right. We're not going to purposely just believe something that's wrong or incorrect. But I don't want to just look at people like they're the enemy. I want to look at them like maybe they've been taken by the enemy. And I want to care enough to try to reach them and to say, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be right there. So I'm not saying this like follow the way, not the world, as let them go on about their destructive business. I'm saying, let's live to follow the way so that we can be a light to others so that they can follow the way too. So to walk in the Spirit, Daniel 4:8 says, but at last Daniel came before me. This is Nebuchadnezzar speaking again, the king. His name is Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God. But in him is the Spirit of the Holy God. Isn't that something? And I told the dream before him, saying, verse 9, Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, because I know that the Spirit of the Holy God is in you and no secret troubles you, explain to me the visions of my dream that I've seen and its interpretation. Daniel had a good testimony of his faith in God before others, didn't he? That's what I'm saying. You see, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a believer, but he recognized there was something different about Daniel. He knew the Spirit of the Holy God was in him. That's what sets us apart. We're not set apart from the world by coming to a building with a steeple on it on Sunday mornings. We're set apart by being the church of God, indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. He sets us apart, and the Word of God sets us apart, Jesus said. So he said there's something about, and in the Old Testament, it was different. In the Old Testament, God's Spirit could come upon someone for a particular time and season, like Samson. God's Spirit came on Samson at certain times and allowed him to do incredible feats of strength. We probably picture him, they do little kids' cartoons and pictures of him that you color, like he was a real masculine guy or whatever. He might have been my size. But it wasn't like Hulk Hogan. It was the Spirit of God that enabled him to do what he did. But sadly, he compromised with the ways of the world and became comfortable in it. And here's what it says that was dangerous. It says the Spirit of God left him and he didn't know it. But see, in the New Testament, Jesus instituted a new covenant for us. And when we believe in Jesus as Lord, the Spirit of God doesn't just come upon us for an instant and then depart. He comes to live and stay inside of us so we can live this thing out 24/7 by the power of His Spirit. We can't do it on our own strength. So Jesus instituted this. He makes us members of the body of Christ. And to live, I think of it like this. When it says walk in the Spirit, some translations say live. It's a lifestyle. For me, I think of it as being in step. Am I in step with God's Spirit? Am I in step right in the center of His will? I think we got a wind blowing there, don't we? Turning the thing. Walking in step with Him, in close fellowship with Him. And He leads us and He empowers us to live faithfully by the Word of God. Follow the way, not the world. The last verse is Galatians 5:16, if you want to write it down. Galatians 5:16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. It's a day in and day out, step-by-step lifestyle, isn't it? Walking in the Spirit. One translation says, walk in the Spirit, and you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Let's not come across like, well, you got to quit sinning, then you can live right. How are you going to quit sinning? Walk in the Spirit. We've got to, God can do it, but I've got to have His grace and be in harmony with His will in order to do it, to live it out. So follow the way, not the world. We live by our faith in God, our identity in Christ. Let's believe and confess what He says about us, who we are in Him, and then we got to walk it out in the Spirit every day. Let me ask you this. Do you sense the world system trying to either draw you or force you at times into following its way rather than the way? Lord, help us. Isn't it a constant battle over our worldview, over our lifestyle, and over our loyalty? Do you see why they wanted to give them that worldly perspective, that mindset? So it was their worldview, lifestyle, and loyalty. They wanted loyalty to their gods and to the ones meeting their needs. But I've got a truth this morning that I believe can encourage us and strengthen us. You ready for it? Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. Thank God. Greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. 1 John 4:4, if you want to just write that down. So let me ask you this now. We got to live it out. Will you trust God? Will you renew your mind with His truth? And will you stay in close fellowship with the Holy Spirit? Because that's the only way we're going to be able to follow the way. To trust God, renew our mind, and stay in close fellowship with the Spirit. Let's stand together. Can we just join our hearts in prayer right now? And just before I lead us, I would like to ask, would you take a moment right now and just, if the Lord has maybe revealed an area of your life where you say, this is maybe an area in my life, even in just my attitude, where I've started to slip over into following more of the world's way than the way. But Lord, right now, I'm bringing that to you and saying, no, I'm coming back. I am on the right road. I'm with you. And I don't want to even take a step toward that. Help me to only reach out in love to those who need you. And just before we sing this closing chorus, is there anyone here today? We can just keep our heads bowed, our eyes closed just for a moment. and you would just say, Brother Rocky, pray for me. I feel like I have been kind of just almost a little weak in an area, or maybe I know the Lord, I want him, but I just asking for strength in my spirit today to help me to live this out. I know I need to be better at maybe renewing my mind, for example, and just trusting God. And I just want prayer today before we close. Is there anyone here? Would you just slip up your hand? Let me pray for you. And if you hold them up just for a moment, thank you so much. Thank you so much. God bless you. God bless you. Yes, thank you. You can put your hands down. Thank you so much. Yes, God bless you. Anyone else? Thank you. Let's go to the Lord. I want to lift you up in prayer. Let's agree together, okay? Father, I just thank you for your great love for us. Lord, I'm thankful we do have our challenges and we fall at times in this life, even on the right road. But Lord, today we ask you to help us get back up and to go in the power of your Spirit. We're coming to you saying, Lord, we can't live this out without you. We don't even want to try. So we just want to be close to you. So Lord, for each one, my brothers and sisters who've raised their hands now, whatever that area of need is, I pray that you would just even minister to them right now. I pray for wisdom over them of how to live it out, how to strengthen, Lord, their walk with you, stay in close fellowship with you. I pray that you would encourage them maybe where they've gotten off a little bit and they're coming back. And I pray they would sense your pleasure and joy that their heart's desire is to please you. So Lord, help us today to live this truth out. Give us discernment so that we don't get off track. Help us to know your heart, your truth, your will. And I pray that you would help us to not say anything about ourselves that you don't say or about anyone else. I thank you for victory today. In Jesus' name.